Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We're just going to continue to look at the resurrection story again from the book of John, if you have your Bible with you. John chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 11 through to 18. John 20, starting at verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look at the tomb, into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And we'll just pray before we look a wee bit deeper into the Word. Heavenly Father, we just ask for your help now. We know that your Word is perfect and it is true, Lord. It is our understanding that needs help. So we just pray that you would help us this morning as we look at it to understand, that we would do everything to the glory of Jesus. Amen. On occasion, I would get into debate with other people about Christianity and about my faith. And quite often they would suggest that I'm a Christian, and my friends are Christians, for no other reasons than that was what we were brought up with. As in, our parents were Christians, our friends were Christians, and so on, and so on. In fairness, it's a reasonable criticism, and we always should question what we believe and why we believe it. But they go on to point out that Christianity is just another religion. It's just another one mixed up in the melting pot of world religions that are there for the weak and the vulnerable to cling to in times of trouble. And there's this view among some that Christianity is just a crutch. It's just something that you lean on in times of trouble. And the Christianity is just our version, the Western world's version of the other popular religions, some sort of spiritual drug that will help us through a difficult time until the day that we die. Well, you know, it's recorded that almost 3/4 of the world's population practices one of these religions in some shape or form: Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, or Judaism, and of course Christianity. What's different about Christianity? What makes it different to all the rest? What makes our faith distinct to all of the other faith? What is our hope? Why is our hope different to these other people's hopes? How do we know that our faith isn't just a vain hope? One word: resurrection. Let me tell you something. Buddha died and he was cremated. End of story. Muhammad died and his body was buried in Saudi Arabia. End of story. And it could go on and on with other people who call themselves religious leaders. But Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And that's what makes the difference between our faith and other faiths. I'm not particularly sure who said this, but it is so true. Jesus didn't come into this world just to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. It's the difference in our faith. It's Easter Sunday and I want to talk about resurrection today, and I want to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the center of, or should be at the center of, our faith. Remember what Jesus said: "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection." We call ourselves believers today, then everything that we do should flow from this fact. That's what makes Christianity different. So let's keep our Bibles open in John 20 here, and we're going to look a little bit deeper. In particular, I want us to look at what the resurrection meant through the eyes of one lady, Mary Magdalene, how much it changed her life for all eternity, and of course what we can learn from Mary, what we can apply to our lives, how we can let the resurrection make a difference to our lives. First thing that we see about Mary, we look at verses 11 to 13. It's this, that she stayed close to Jesus at all times. At all times. Not just the good times. Not just the times of blessing. Mary stayed close at all times. It's been said of Mary that she was last at the cross and first at the grave. In Mark 15:40, don't need to look it up, but we'll find that Mary is standing at the foot of the cross. Then later on in John 20, we find her distraught, here to, what we're looking at today, distraught and alone at the empty tomb. So here we find the first very simple lesson that we can learn from the life of Mary Magdalene. If we want the future, if we want our future in God's will to make sense, then we need to stay close to Jesus. We need to open our Bibles every day, and read it. We need to pray every day. Talk to Jesus as we would talk to a friend. We tell him about the thing that's going on in our family, about our feelings. Tell him about the stuff that we're going to need this week. Tell him about our failing health. Peter tells us to cast all of our cares upon him, upon Jesus, because he cares for us. Good thing is Jesus already knows about it when we tell him. But he wants you to bring that family argument. He wants you to bring that health problem. Whatever it is you need, he wants you to bring it to him in prayer, because he wants our dependency. And that's what prayer is about. And Mary followed Jesus through the most difficult of times. You've probably heard the phrase already. Someone has said it, that if you want to stay close to the shepherd, if you want to know where God is leading you, you need to stay close to the shepherd. And that's what Mary did. She stuck close to the shepherd at all times. So another lesson springs from that we can look at, and it's this. John's a step ahead of me. Thank you, John. Just you keep doing that. Another lesson we can learn from Mary's closeness is that she stayed close even when she didn't understand what was happening. Luke 8 verse 2 tells us that Jesus had cast out 7 demons from Mary, out of Mary. And Mary's devotion to Jesus came from that fact that she had been freed by Jesus. He gave her this new life. So you can picture and you can imagine the expectation that Mary had and the hope that she had and the trust that she had in Jesus. So then imagine how that hope and expectation must have been turned to confusion and fear as she watched him just a couple of days before on Friday, as she watched him on the cross and she watched him die. But Mary stays as close as it was physically possible to be under the circumstances. It's been said of Mary that Mary followed Jesus even to the darkest places. The disciples had went off into hiding. They were hiding through fear, but Mary stayed close. So this second thing that we learn from Mary is that you and I must keep trusting, even in the darkest of times in our lives. Even when we don't understand what God is doing in our lives. And this isn't easy. It's not easy. When our bodies give in to the illness, when the bills come in one after the other and our bank accounts move into the minus numbers, when we lose the loved one, it's not easy to understand what God is doing in our lives. But Mary didn't give up, even when she didn't understand what God was doing. And she expresses it here in tears. And that's okay too. And that didn't stop her from loving, and it didn't stop her from following, even though she didn't understand. Now, if you're anything like me, you want to see what's around the next corner. Sometimes we just got to have the go of faith, and we'll have to just trust like Mary, even when we don't understand. Have a look at verse 14. Another thing that we can learn about Mary. First, Mary didn't recognize Jesus' voice. More than likely, it was simply she'd watched him die. She'd watched him die on the Friday, and it could have been her brain simply telling her this could not be Jesus because he's dead. Maybe it was the dark. More than likely, it was both. But verse 14 tells us that she didn't recognize him. Verse 15 says she thought that he was actually the gardener who was just working about the place. Mary doesn't recognize him. That is right up until the point where he speaks. There's one word. Look at verse 16. One word. Her name. Mary. And what a moment. What a moment. Remember John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Mary had stayed close to the shepherd at all times, and now she recognizes his voice. Sometimes people ask me what my favorite verse is from the Bible, and it's hard at times, but would I tell you this has to be one of them? It's just her name, Mary. But there's so much said in that name, and so much said by what hasn't been said. Mary, I am alive. Mary, your faith was in me wasn't in vain. Mary, I was in control all along, and when you didn't understand what I was doing it all for you. And it was all conveyed in just one word from the shepherd. Mary answers Jesus with a term of endearment and respect. She answers Rabboni, or teacher. Have a look at verse 17, see what's going on here. I always thought of this as a fairly odd part of the story here, and it took a little bit of digging maybe to fully understand what's going on. At first read, it seems like Jesus is telling Mary not to touch him, simply not to touch him. But this doesn't make sense, because later on in verse 27, Jesus invites Thomas to do just that, to touch his hands and to touch his side. So that's not what this is about. So why the difference? Jesus isn't telling Mary simply not to touch him. What he's actually doing here is saying, don't cling. There's a difference. He's saying, don't cling to me. Mary's initial and natural and understandable response was just to move forward and to grab Jesus and not let go. She had lost him. She had lost him once before, and she's making sure that she's not going to lose him again. And her insecurities and her fear and of what happened in the past, her natural instinct was just grab Jesus and don't let him go. But Jesus says, don't cling to me, Mary. And then he quickly goes on to give reasons why. I have to go away again. I'm going to ascend to my Father and to your Father. Poor Mary. Here she is in that situation again where she doesn't understand what's coming next. But the good news is she doesn't have to wait long. She doesn't have to wait long to understand that soon she was going to experience a closeness that was far beyond anything she'd experienced to this point. Anything beyond the physical presence of Jesus. If you just look down further in the passage to verse 22, it says this: and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, Mary wanted to cling to the thing that she believed was going to bring her happiness. But Jesus said he had better plans. He had better plans for her, and he had better plans for the disciples. It's very easy to cling on to the thing that we believe, not what God wants, but the thing that we believe will bring us happiness. For Mary, she understood it to be Jesus' physical presence. Mary wanted to experience the closeness that she'd experienced in the past. But Jesus tells her that in obedience to God, that they both have to move forward in God's will. You know, sometimes it's very easy for us to cling to very legitimate things, just to grab hold on and cling to it. For Mary, it was simply to hold on to her friend, to get things back to the way that they used to be before he was crucified. One thing that becomes clear in my life as I get older as a Christian is that the Christian life is a life of constant change. If we're growing with God, it will be constant change, or it should be, because Christianity is a faith of new things, of moving on and moving forward. We put our sinful past behind and we go on to find the place and the people and whatever it is that God wants us to be or God wants us to do. Our instinct is simply to make ourselves secure and to make ourselves comfortable in life, in our jobs, in our relationships, in the hope maybe of financial security. Even in church, people say it about church, you hear them, "Oh, I remember the day when we did," you know, we've got this during the war attitude, like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses. He's always looking back to the good old days. And we cling to the past, we cling to this idea of what it is that God wants us to be or God wants us to do. But you know what? It hinders our ability to move forward and to be the person that God wants us to be. It could be that you're clinging on to something today. Maybe you need simply to let it go and then to find out what it is that Jesus wants you to do. Jesus says, don't cling to it, let it go. And then rest in the provision and the comfort that his indwelling Holy Spirit will bring us. Jesus said to Mary, don't cling to me. I'm alive. I'm alive again. And things have changed, but they're changed for the better and they're changed for the good. Jesus then asks something of Mary. He asks her to go and tell the others. Tell people that I'm alive, Mary. Tell my brothers that I'm returning to my Father. See, what Jesus being alive really means is that death has been defeated. God's people have been brought back. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes our place, who takes our punishment. The price for the sins of God's people have been paid in full on the cross. Remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. Deal done. And anyone who trusts in Jesus will be saved. God is satisfied with what happened at Calvary. Jesus took our punishment on our behalf. What an amazing message Mary had to pass on. Have a look at verse 18, if your Bible's still open. It says, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. He's alive. All that he said was true. But Mary just said, I have seen the Lord. Over 2,000 years later, we can still almost read the excitement in her voice. I have seen the Lord. See, once Mary witnessed the empty tomb and the risen Saviour, life was never going to be the same again. It couldn't be the same again. What else could Mary do but tell? Jesus is alive and I have seen him. Same for the disciples too. Think about this for a wee minute. One of the criticisms of Christianity that I mentioned earlier is this, that Christianity is just a fairy story for gullible people to get some comfort in, get them through a hard life until they die. Some people, that's their view. But think about this for a minute, just as I come to a close. Think about this for a minute. John, Peter, and Mary were all witnesses to the empty tomb. The skeptics can say that they made this up, that Christianity is a lie. All of the disciples claim to have met the risen Jesus. The cynical could say again that they just made it up and it's all a lie. And we noticed on the news yesterday, Stephen Hawking was buried yesterday. Do you know what he said about Christianity? He said, heaven is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. Now, Stephen Hawking was an intelligent man, but even an atheist like Stephen Hawking can't disagree with this fact. People don't die for a lie. Both history and scripture record that all of the apostles were either imprisoned or died cruel deaths because of their faith in Jesus, because they believed that Jesus had risen. Why would you endure such treatment? The answer is very simple. Because on the first Easter morning, John and Peter and Mary witnessed an empty tomb. Then later on in the day, they spoke with the risen Jesus. So they spent the rest of their lives telling the world that Jesus died and rose again to save sinners. And the message spread, Jesus is alive. You know, it spread to Jerusalem, it spread to Turkey, it spread into Europe, it spread into England, it spread to Ireland. It's with us today on the Shankill Road. And this morning, praise God, the message is still exactly the same. Jesus is alive. Thank you for listening. Just going to hand back to John.
David, can I say something?
Yes, you can.